Hi, Mike Jensen.
Hey, Elise Castle. We're back for season three.
Season three.
First episode of season three, where there's smoke.
Threeson.
Got it.
Third season.
Very clever.
Thank you.
Where there's smoke, ellipses. I'm including the ellipses in the title. This debuted June 4th, 2000. So, fun fact about this episode. Mm-hmm. This is the first episode that I saw after having moved to New York City.
Congrats.
Thank you. I moved here in May of 2000. So I had just gotten settled in. I was in my apartment on 155th, just off of Broadway, watching this episode.
He doesn't live there anymore.
So I don't live there anymore. Him. No, don't stalk me there. It's a very different neighborhood 18 years later.
Did you hate Staten Island because of this episode?
I didn't. No. I mean, nice we'll talk about Staten Island. Staten Island is kind of like the weird borough in New York in a lot of ways. But it is. I'm just saying it is. Like, how often have you gone to Staten Island?
Never.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So this was written and directed by Michael Patrick King. We didn't really talk about it, but he directed the season two finale, which was the first episode that he'd ever directed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he's going to now direct 2 and 1.3 episodes per season for the next few seasons, tending to direct like the opening episodes. He'll direct the next episode as well. So we have the DVD description. Do women just want to be rescued? When they head to Staten Island to watch and judge the New York City Fire Department's calendar competition, Carrie meets a handsome divorced politician who wants more than her vote, while Samantha gets to fulfill her fireman fantasy. Charlotte goes looking for a knight in shining armor, and after eye surgery, Miranda sees Steve clearly for the first time.
Eye rolling.
So we start, you know, we're in New York City, where there are 1 million single men. I don't know if that's where that statistic comes from.
Yeah, I don't think that's true.
And four
cold and slightly cranky single women.
All in various fur coats.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to get to this on both the journey there and the journey back. I guess she's smoking, but like, why are they outside? Like, they're sort of talking about how cold it is. Like, oh, it's freezing out here.
You can go inside.
Go inside. Like, yeah. Just go inside. It's kind of bizarre.
I mean, maybe they wanted to show off their, like, furs.
Probably.
Their rainbow furs.
Yeah.
But can you currently smoke on the ferry?
I don't think you probably can anymore.
At all?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're going, why are they going to Staten Island?
Because it's the first time they kind of announced that Carrie is a minor New York celebrity.
Yeah, she's a minor celebrity. They're going to go and judge
the fireman, like, calendar.
And that's a real thing. There is a calendar that comes out every
year.
There's
also a taxi cab driver calendar.
Is there?
Yeah. But I don't think they are trying to be sexy on it. I think it's kind of like a tongue-in-cheek response to the fireman thing.
Got it. It's very explicit that they are not going to Staten Island to meet men.
No.
I am going to judge them.
Rude.
Yeah.
they like have a lot of hate for Staten Island. Not hate, but like judgy.
I feel like that's true. Like, I feel like that's sort of a New York thing.
Yeah, well, relax.
Like, Staten Island is of the boroughs, it's like, you know, the Republican borough for one thing. It's also the one that's kind of hardest to get to. Like, you can't just take a train there. You do have to take a ferry.
Have you been on the G train?
I have been on the G train before, okay. Yes.
Because I think that probably easier to get to Staten Island than it is to get to Brooklyn at some points.
Yeah, I've been to Staten Island a couple of times. I've taken the ferry a couple of times. It's actually really like a fun activity to do. It's free.
And you can see the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, it's actually a great way to see the Statue of Liberty. It's fun to go. It's a little crowded at this point, but if you go right around sunset, you get all of the lights reflecting off of the buildings in New York. It's fun and it's free, and we'll get to this, but you never have to wait that long for the next Staten Island ferry, even if it is midnight. All right, so the judge...
Yeah, love her.
Yeah.
Oh, but you mean the host?
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
That would be me in this...
Marceline Hugo? Is that what it is?
Yes, that's her name.
And she was Kathy Geis on 30 Rock. She's done a ton of stuff.
She's done a ton of stuff. She's been in 30 Rock, The Leftovers.
Yeah.
I thought I knew her. Like, I thought she was someone else, but she's not. But I'm like, that would be me.
Yeah,
that
she's great.
Like, she has the line, like, Michael, he loves to cook. Great Big ZD.
Great Big ZD. He's from Engine 275, Ladder 133. We're out there, Queen.
Like, no nonsense.
Yeah, she's terrific. I love her as an actress, and she's great in this role. And then we immediately get to the character of Bill Kelly, played by John Slattery. Obviously, he's most well known for Mad Men, but he's done a ton of stuff.
I actually knew that.
Good for you.
I didn't know that was him, but when I paused it and my TV said, that's John Slattery, I was like, I know that name.
So his wife is Talia Balsam, who's on Divorce with Sarah Jessica Parker, and she's a wonderful actress as well. I saw him, other fun little connection, this would have been before, but he will go on, he would go on after this episode to play Cynthia Nixon's husband in the Broadway production of Rabbit Hole, for which she won her first Tony Award. And it was an amazing cast. So, yeah, so he's the token male judge. I'm also going to just point out, and he points it out later, Carrie's a really tough judge.
She is a very tough judge.
She's giving very...
tough judge.
Yeah, she's giving like very low... yeah, like a 5.5 to something. I mean, I don't know. It seems...
Also, like, shout out to the Judge Antonio Wallace, who is sitting next to Carrie. It's a woman.
Yes. Yes, because...
No, I mean, she is a woman.
Yeah.
But the nameplate in front of her says Antonio Wallace.
Okay.
So I don't know if it is Antonia, or maybe her name is Antonio, or maybe they just, like, props made these cards, and they were like, no one's going to notice this, except right. for this girl 20 years from now who's doing a podcast. But just shout out to Antonio Wallace right there.
Yeah, and it looks like they're having fun. I feel like...
Yeah,
like,
they're having a great time.
SJP and her kind of, like,
she makes a
around.
Joke about, like, to him, and he's like, I'm more into cops.
Yeah, they're fun. Yeah, they have a funny... He's very charming. I mean, John Slattery is very charming, and the character is very, very charming. They're drinking Staten Island iced teas.
Which I just tried to find out if it was a thing. I mean, I couldn't find, like, a legitimate... I know there's, like, Long Beach iced teas, which have cranberry juice, there's, like, all that stuff, right? There's the Gilligan's Island, which we used to have that had, like, grape juice in it, I think.
I think they probably just made it. It's a Long Island iced tea, and they call it a Staten Island iced tea. And
yeah, it's like you were just drinking Long Island iced teas 3 episodes ago, no problem. But you know what? Maybe it was because they forgot all the other ingredients.
Maybe.
They only had the rum.
They don't make Cosmopolitan. It's a Staten Island iced tea.
Is that like a Long Island iced tea?
I think so.
Hello, I'm drunk.
We have the first reference to Steve.
Why do you even care if you can see you have Steve?
I do not have Steve. There is no having of the Steve.
It's like, we're just friends. And Samantha's like, we're just friends, but I don't put my dick in you. I'm like...
I thought it was funny.
And then, which, like, she had a lot of moments today where I was like, that Christina Aguilera Samantha is spot on.
Yeah, I really feel like, you know, and we'll get to it a few times. I feel like Kim Cattrall was maybe not given enough credit. Now, yes, she certainly borders on caricature. Like,
borders?
She's so broad.
Yeah, she
but
is.
But she sells it.
No, she does.
And she's asked to sell some pretty ridiculous moments. So I do want to, like, just give some props to Kim Cattrall, because she...
But sometimes I just feel, and I could be wrong in this, but sometimes I feel like she's not in the same show. And I don't think it's her fault.
Right.
But there are moments where I'm like, okay, we're all having, like, a real moment, and then she... I don't know what... But whatever.
I like it. So the new guy that's getting up to dance, he is announced as a Capricorn.
Okay.
Just for the record.
Like, the pride of Lower Manhattan, or he's, like, worked somewhere on Lower Manhattan.
Right.
And which lets Samantha say, I'd like to show him my Lower Manhattan.
Yeah, there's a lot of Samantha zingers.
But I
in
love
this.
At that moment, Charlotte looks at her and goes, ew. Because I just like that response.
There are a few moments in this episode that are really highlighting the Samantha-Charlotte differences.
Yeah, and then she's like, Samantha's like, hello, 911, I'm on fire.
That was definitely in the promo for season 3. Oh, yeah. That was a line that was used in the promo before this ever came out.
Hello, 911, I'm on fire.
They're dancing.
Oh, yeah, Carrie is living. Yeah. Carrie is just living on the dance floor. Miranda is doing a total mom dance.
Yeah.
She's, like, mom dancing across the floor. Also, when... Miranda was bringing the Staten Island iced teas to them. She's doing that thing that girls do when they're, like, walking through crowds, like, with the drinks above everyone's head, like, trying to get through. But at first, before I knew they were Staten Island iced teas, I was like, why is she doing that with a Pepsi?
Yeah, they do just look like Pepsis or something like that. There's an extra in the background dancing who I really like also. If you
go back and look at that,
she's
living
she's,
too.
Blonde lady is living for it.
I began to realize that Staten Island was like a quaint European country. The American music was 20 years behind, and you could smoke wherever you wanted.
I was just thinking, like, when has Carrie in this series not smoked wherever she wanted?
That is true.
She was smoking in a barn.
Yeah.
Like, Carrie has no problem. Ricky is a complete idiot. Let's just say that.
Yeah, so
right,
we're gonna meet Ricky. I will just like a dumb thing that I noticed, that they're like leaning on an arcade game that is clearly turned off.
Yeah, and it's also from 1999.
Yeah.
But I mean, whatever.
So we meet not the smartest guy, Ricky. He's played by Michael Lombardi.
Okay.
So Michael Lombardi was a real firefighter.
Oh.
Yeah, he's not an actor. I think he has like one other acting credit, but he was a real firefighter. His story is actually very interesting. There's an article that I was reading about him. So when all of this went down, there was a moment that he was maybe in trouble because of the scene that we're going to get to later on. And he wasn't really in trouble, but I guess he had to go before like the commissioner and like plead his case, because he had gotten permission to act in the episode, but I think hadn't gotten permission to like be naked in a firehouse. But it all went fine. Like, he wasn't really in any trouble, and his story is very interesting. So he was a real fireman in Lower Manhattan. He was part of a group that lost the most men on September 11th.
Wow.
He was not there. He was part of a diving team, so he wasn't nearby during it, but I guess it was he had a lot of survivor's guilt about it and spent a lot of time in Lower Manhattan trying to search for...
So were they looking for real firefighters for this episode?
My understanding is that all the men that are dancing up there, I think, are firefighters.
Oh, wow.
Like, I think they really were the ones in the calendar. If that is incorrect, I know at least he was, because he was a real firefighter. And he had to retire a few years later because of health issues from being in Lower Manhattan. But I believe he's still around. He's, you know, I was reading... Anyways, it was an interesting article on him.
I'll find it and I'll post it.
Yeah, it was a good one. So he does mention that his birthday is in October. That just seems like a weird thing to have, like, missed in the writing room, that, like, he's a Capricorn that was somehow born in October, which doesn't make any
sense. But they have made him just kind of, like, this dim...
Yeah. So, no, maybe he just thought he was... Maybe he was like, I'm a Capricorn.
Yeah.
I never did anything like that before. But my sisters were like, do it, Ricky. And I'm like, I never did anything like that before.
Yeah, so they have their little exchange.
Right, and... That's really it. You just know, like, okay, they're going to hook up.
Yeah.
Like, you just know that. And then Carrie leans against the bar with a pack of merits.
Yeah, so, and then Bill arrives. Mm-hmm. He announces that he gets to have one cigarette a week.
She gives him his one cigarette a week. He quit 3 years ago. Tries to ask her out, and she's like, no.
Yeah, she's very resistant. We kind of get into this whole, you know, sometimes a girl needs a half. I don't know what that's a metaphor for.
And what's with all those half points? 6.5, 8.5.
What can I say? Sometimes a girl needs a half.
Yeah, I don't know. If it's like half a what?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what we're alluding to there. We do discover that she's never voted. This is both infuriating to me and also does seem sort of like a Carrie thing.
Or she's just not registered in New York.
Yeah, I have no idea. But it makes it seem like she's never voted, which while unacceptable, does feel very Carrie. We discover that they live in the same district. Mm-hmm. That's pretty coincidental, but all right. And he's trying to get her to go out. She will not commit.
No.
And it's sort of the shadow over this entire episode. I actually couldn't remember if we ever actually mentioned the word big. And we do eventually, but mm-hmm. I like that they wait so long to do it. That is just sort of like his shadow over this episode of her not being able to give in to this guy at all. And he actually says, like, was it a bad breakup?
And there's a long pause.
Yeah, long pause. We find out that Sam went home with the fireman.
2-2-BB.
And Charlotte's around here somewhere.
Charlotte is lip syncing for her life on that dance.
Charlotte has had one too many Staten Island Ice teas, maybe. Yeah, she's doing a weird lip sync. Like, I don't know.
She knows all the words.
She does know the words. She literally really likes this song. And she's living for it. And then we get to her drunk on the ferry.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, why are they outside?
I'm just very nervous. And, like, Charlotte's about to fall off, and Carrie just grabs her coat from the back.
Miranda's line of, if she falls off, I will never stop laughing, definitely made me laugh very hard the first time that I watched this episode. But she is a little bit dangerous.
It reminded me of going home on the subway with a friend after they had had too many drinks and just... Because, like, there's that thing that Carrie's doing with her where she's... kind of like not talking down to her, but she's just very sober,
right?
And Charlotte is not, and it just looks like the big sister little sister thing. And that's happened to me many times. It's like, I'm not trying to talk down to this person, but like, your purse is half hanging off right now, like, can we put this back, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. So. And Charlotte announces that she's getting married this year,
right?
And she's very excited.
You hear that, New York? I'm getting married this year!
We have Samantha with her four alarm
lover.
Yeah.
When do they have time to light these candles?
Yeah. Once
there's
again,
always a lot of candles, and it's like I can't imagine Samantha being like, "Just give me a second. I gotta set the mood." Like,
I just look best by candlelight.
Oh yeah, I just look best by 43 candles.
We get to four ladies at brunch.
Ladies, let me tell you about his cock. Just over some poached eggs, but I'm not sure if those were actually poached eggs. The eggs definitely didn't look real. They are only eating the bacon.
Can we lighten up on the cock talk till cocktail time?
Fine.
Yeah, and I think that Charlotte needs some food.
Yeah, Charlotte needs some food, but she can't. She pushes
it
away.
She can't. Yeah, she cannot eat the food.
She doesn't feel very good.
And she has the comment of it's wrong to sleep with a man to fulfill a fantasy. Which, A, I don't think this, I don't know if that's a big deal. But, B, I do want to be like, have you met Samantha?
Right.
Hey, Charlotte, this is your friend Samantha.
Right. Remember she had sex with your brother?
Yeah. And then you thanked her for it eventually?
And gave her muffins. And I still want one of those muffins. They looked very good.
They looked really good.
Yeah.
And we sort of have the thing of, like, why are firemen so sexy? And even if they're not cute, they're cute. Which leads up to Charlotte sort of dropping her bombshell of a line.
It's because women really just want to be rescued.
And everyone kind of pauses.
There it was. The sentence, independent single women in their 30s are never supposed to think, let alone say out loud.
Samantha looks as if she's dressed as Marilyn Monroe.
Okay.
She's in this, like, white wrap. It almost looks like she just woke up, came in a robe, but, like, once again, an old Hollywood robe. Like, her hair is curled and bobbed and...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, because I think all of the women have this pause because they all realize that that might be true.
I think that that's what it is, and it's sort of that thing of, well, that's the thing you're not supposed to say, and you get to Charlotte saying, you know, I've been dating for all these years, where is he?
Mm-hmm.
And then one of my also favorite lines where she just says that her hair hurts.
Yeah, because that's true. There have been so many times where you're just so sick or hungover, and yeah, your hair hurts.
Yeah, absolutely. There are little moments, though, in there, too, that I like where, like, Carrie moves the creamer away.
Mm-hmm.
Where I have the whole, like, the whole white knight.
Did you ever think that maybe we're the white knights and we're the ones that have to save ourselves?
Even Charlotte saying, like, that's so depressing, and Carrie's response of, like, is it? And I don't know. We begin into fairy tales.
What if Prince Charming had never showed up?
We already knew that this is Charlotte. Like, Charlotte wants to be rescued. She wants to be saved. She wants someone to hook up her VCR, even though it's 2000.
Would Snow White have slept in that glass coffin forever?
We get an I couldn't help but wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, then we get the question.
Yeah, the question is a long lead up. Inside every confident single woman, is there a delicate princess waiting to be saved? And then the question, do women just want to be rescued? I don't think there's any delicate princess inside of me, but we can dig. I think I will always be more of an Ursula.
You don't think there's a delicate princess inside of Ursula?
Yeah, the one she eats. No, I don't know. I mean, I was saying this today when I was getting my hair cut, which looks very nice, by the way. You can't see it, but just imagine wonderfulness.
Your hair looks very nice.
Thank you. That I was never a Disney princess person. I watched the movies, but I was never like, I want to be Belle, you know.
Who did you want to be?
I just thought they were nice movies. I didn't really want to be. I wanted to be Pippi Longstocking, if we're going to be real.
Okay.
Actually, I think I wanted to be the best friend. I always, like, shot a little bit low. I was like, I'll be Annika.
So then we meet Dr. David Gottlieb.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Skybell is his name.
Ugh, LASIK scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, so this is early LASIK, too. Mm-hmm. So basically the conversation is that Miranda needs someone to get her home from the doctor's office. And she's kind of adamant that she doesn't need anybody, that she'll be fine. But I do want to be like, you won't be fine. Like, you do need to have someone there.
I can picture you doing
there.
That, though.
I can picture me doing it and then regretting it as soon as the surgery. I would definitely be the person who'd be like, nah, I'll be fine. And then the surgery would be over and I'd be like, oh, I'm just going to lay here until it's over. Yeah, so we get to Miranda and Steve, and they're having it used to be called the Flap and Zap, and like I know, it's really gross to think about.
There's a few other things in life that I could call the Flap and Zap too, but we're not going to go there.
I have a friend that did this.
Like maybe some laser hair removal.
Flap and Zap. Yeah, I have a friend that did this probably even before this year, and it used to be, I think now they don't even do that. Now they just use like a laser, and it's a lot simpler than it used to be. But back in the day, yeah, it was a pretty...
Because she's explaining it to Steve, like they slice her and flip it up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for real.
And then they slit your eyeball open and flip up the top.
And it sort of, it gets into that thing of you know, I'll come pick you up. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, I asked already. I'll call Carrie and see if she can do it. Steve's the best, and Miranda does not want him to be the best.
Mm-mm. She does not want to be rescued.
No. She is very adamant that she can do it on her, that Carrie will come, and he's sort of like, well, why would you call Carrie when I'm saying right now that I'll do it? And she does not want to talk about it. Mm-mm. She gets back into the gross surgery conversation mm-hmm. in order to avoid any more of this. Yeah, there's a lot of resisting in this episode.
You know, like, what are we? I don't know. You know, aren't we? Are we friends? We haven't discussed that.
What are we doing here?
So we get back to on the east side.
At a more Charlotte-friendly bar.
Where Charlotte spots a serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
He just looks very Patrick Bateman.
Very cute. He looks terrible. Like, this guy is just absolutely awful.
Yeah, he just looks, he does not look like a nice person.
No. And then I felt bad about it, but then I felt okay about it again.
Yeah. So JJ approaches.
Hey, beautiful. I'm JJ. Can I buy those sweet lips a drink?
Yeah, this is not how you do this.
No. These are conversations that I've gotten in my inbox on OkCupid. I've never had anyone actually say these things to me, but maybe I'm just not good enough.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. Yeah. This actor is Mark Grapey.
I mean, he's good at this character.
Yeah, he plays the character very well, but it's a gross character.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a weird thing of like, oh no, we're just leaving, but their drinks are full, and they literally walk like 7 feet away and sit down again.
Yeah.
So that's not a good move.
And then
wasn't
he's like, hey, you didn't leave.
Yeah.
And he's like, let me buy you a drink. And she's like, no. And then the creepy guy that we find out, Arthur,
Brad Beyer, who has done a ton of stuff as well. He was in a TV show that I love called GCB that lasted a very, very short amount of time. But yeah, he approaches.
And he's like, hey, she says no, leave her alone. He's like, no. And then he knocks him out.
Yeah, he punches
and
JJ
out. He just knocked that guy out. He also has bangs.
He's also an investment banker.
Yeah, they say he's a nice, sweet investment banker. Well, he just knocks someone out. This reminds me of the episode in season 1 or 2 where Carrie goes on the date with that guy and he just
freak
screams.
Show.
Yeah, he just screams at people
in the movie theater.
Yeah, this is the same. This guy's friend.
So Carrie, I do like the comedic moment of his hand, JJ's hand coming out of nowhere and grabbing Carrie. And
yeah,
she has her little funny scream moment.
The day after Charlotte met her knight, I met my credit card limit.
Carrie's in her fur with her Jimmy Choo shoes.
Yes, walking with her shoes. She's got two bags. One's from Jimmy Choo. One looks like it might be Chanel. I didn't really get a good look at it.
I feel like also Jimmy Choo was a thing before Louis Vuitton was a thing.
I don't know when they were a thing, but I do know Jimmy Choo was like a big Carrie Bradshaw thing.
Because it will eventually switch to being more of a Louis Vuitton thing. But yeah, in the beginning, it was all about the Jimmy Choo shoes. And I wonder why that is. And she gets there and
does she bring in the Manolo Blahnik?
Have Manolos as well.
Yeah.
Wow, there's so many fancy shoes.
I remember my best friend always talking about those Manolo Blahniks. And I had no idea what they were. But Jimmy Choo, she has Jimmy Choo shoes. And she finds Billy, right? That's his name?
Yeah,
Bill waiting on her stoop.
Waiting on her stoop. A little creepy if he wasn't quite so handsome and charming, I suppose.
Right, and he just has voting papers for her. He's
registering her to vote, exactly.
And then wants her to go with him.
He basically asks her to Staten Island.
Right.
I gotta go back out there. Do a schmooze at the Capri restaurant on Sunday night, and I want you to go with me.
He's running for comptroller, and I'm gonna be real honest and tell you that I don't know what that is. I've heard of it before. I know it's a thing.
We'll Google it after.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll figure this out. We'll learn. Yeah, he's running for that. He wants her to go to Staten Island with him. She's like, no. And he's like, how about this? You know, I'll come by at 6. If you're ready, you're ready. If not, you're not. No pressure.
Right.
Where are the shoes?
We get to Miranda not asking Steve for help.
Nope.
Is this where she leaves, like, the big letter?
Yeah, she's leaving all these, like, very important numbers for herself in big writing so she can see them. One is the doctor, one is her super, and one is Shanghai Garden.
Yeah, just the important people.
The Chinese restaurant.
We get to Blue Water Grill.
Mm-hmm.
That's still there, right? There was a moment that it was going to close.
It may have reopened.
I think maybe it reopened
is what
happened.
It's in Union Square.
Yeah, classic Union Square restaurant. It's been around forever.
I've had many a friend work
there. I have as well, and I've eaten there on many occasions.
I've never been.
Oh, it's very nice. I feel like I used to go to... I was that basic, you know, person that went to brunch there back in the day.
Was that a place to go to brunch?
Yeah, because you get, like, the free coffee and the free mimosa.
Oh.
Which is the worst brunch to have to work, but it's super fun to go to.
Yeah, because you're like, hey, can I get you guys started with anything to drink? A water, a coffee, a mimosa, a Bloody Mary, a tea, yeah. And you're like, relax.
It's the worst. It's so terrible.
Yeah, tip your waiter. If you go to brunch and you require more than four drinks, bye. But it's the thing. Like, at brunch, everyone needs, like, 93 drinks.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's brunch is the worst. So, I don't know what he's talking. His, like, intro line in this scene is like, so I did the hasty pudding thing a few times to blow off some steam. Like, I don't know what that means.
Charlotte was having her first glass of white wine with her white
knife. So I did the hasty pudding show a couple times just to blow off steam.
So, the guy behind Charlotte bumps her chair. In all honesty, he should have apologized. He should have said, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, I bumped you. Like, the guy is kind of being a dick. But then he gets punched in the face, and that feels like that's a bit much.
Right, and then we're like, okay, this guy needs to relax.
Yeah, he just likes to start fights. Yeah.
So this guy's over with.
That guy's over. Bye.
Shocker. Another guy here and gone in Sex and the City.
So Miranda wakes up from the surgery, and Carrie has called Steve,
mm-hmm.
which I think is actually really sweet.
Yeah.
I like that Carrie got involved.
Right.
Carrie?
Actually, no, it's me. Carrie thought you might need a little help. Is that okay?
And so Steve is there. She's, once again, she's just in her resist. Like, I don't need to be rescued. Don't touch me. Just make sure I don't hit the door on the way out.
Yeah.
And, like, don't help me get into bed.
Don't tell anyone about these goggles. She still has that same bedding.
Yes, she still has the peach bedding.
Pink.
It's peach.
It's very pink.
She describes it as peach when they buy it. And you corrected me in that episode, and I went back and watched it, and she says it's peach.
Can you believe that someone actually had the nerve to call this color Florentine peach?
It's very pink.
Florentine peach.
It's peach. So...
It's pink.
And then she wakes up and sees Steve clearly.
Mm-hmm.
It would be really fun to wake up in the morning and not... Because I wear glasses and contacts.
Too.
And it would be really cool to open my eyes in the morning and just, like, see things. The only time that, the few times that I have opened my eyes and seen things clearly, I'm immediately like, oh, fuck, I slept in my contacts.
Yeah, that's like really gonna hurt. Yeah. They hurt. Yeah.
Ugh, it's awful. So Samantha goes to the firehouse, and it's not the fantasy she thought it would be. No. Well, duh.
What, do you think they were all going to be around, like, doing sexy things?
I don't know. Of course, this is exactly what you're going to find if you go to a firehouse. They're all, like, sitting watching TV.
Eating popcorn and
potato
pizza.
Chips. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Except, you know, the boy's got some chili he's cooking. And she shows up in, like, once again, a full costume.
Yeah.
Like, this blue animal print dress with, like, a...
Yeah. Is it a blue animal print?
Well, that's not a real blue thing, but...
No, I'm not saying that's hilarious that she's wearing that.
Samantha's rescue fantasy was suddenly something she needed to be rescued from.
So, yeah, and
he made some chili.
Yeah.
It's going to be ready soon.
In the midst of all of that, we get back to Carrie, who even she says this later, that she's clearly ready to go.
Right.
Like, she's ready done to go. Up. She's
calling,
ready to go.
Yeah. He's doing that answering machine thing, which I kind of miss.
Yeah, I guess so. They're doing the screening.
Yeah, because there's that thing where you're like, there's times when my friends call me and, you know, I'm kind of busy doing something. I'm like, I'll call them back. But if they would have been like, hey, pick this up, I really, you know, I would.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I just never make phone calls.
Screen my phone calls. Back to season one.
Back
with,
to season
with the
one.
Spider web. Just put that song in here this time.
So she calls Miranda.
Mm-hmm.
I'm standing here,
fully dressed, watching that politician guy drive off to Staten Island without me. Why?
And this is where Big is finally, the name is finally mentioned. The
right.
Not the name. The moniker is finally mentioned. And she admits that, yeah, this is about Big and about not wanting to get hurt. So she takes off and she gets to the Staten Island ferry to go there.
She gets on that ferry. She runs into the bar.
I want someone to look at me the way that he looks at her. He's very happy to see her.
He is.
And she does it. She admits that it was a very bad breakup.
Right.
So I need to take this slow.
So we get to the fireman fantasy. So this is the sexy scene. Mm-hmm. Oh, and
Samantha coming down the pole.
Yes. Which doesn't even seem like it would be very comfortable.
No.
Yeah, Samantha comes down the pole. They have their, you know, sexy time.
Like, up against the fire truck. And then she's like, why are all the pants set up like this? I'm like, well, because we have to go. Like, we
right.
just hop in. So she puts one on.
I'm glad that she's at least wearing, like, panties in this scene.
Don't say that word.
I'm sorry, I was under things.
Underwear, like a normal human.
But she's not wearing a bra.
No, so she uses the suspenders to cover her boobs. And then that guy, because there's a fire, yeah, that guy's like, get out of my gear.
Let's go, move, lady.
It's a pretty good computer. But once again, it is a ridiculous moment, and Kim Cattrall plays it.
She does.
To the extreme, but like perfectly to
the
extreme.
And all those guys like don't care. Yeah. They just want her out of his boots. He's like, get out of my boots. And then, so she's left alone naked in the firehouse, and this couple walks by, and I'm still not convinced it's not the plate spinning couple. I think this is their third appearance in the series.
But I do wonder where her clothes are. Like, why are her clothes so far away?
Maybe they're in the truck. I don't know.
Oh, maybe they were in the, that could be true. They could be in the truck. Then we get to the coat room.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, where they, she's, you know, they're taking it slow, but they're having a very,
yeah, she's like just kissing.
Yeah. Extravagant makeout mm-hmm. session.
She has to get home before the last ferry.
Which isn't a thing.
No, it's 24
fine.
Hours.
Yeah. It's a cute storyline device. So I'll allow it for that purpose, but there's no last, she would have to wait 30 minutes for the next ferry. It would not right. be that big of a deal. That said, also just let the guy drive you home.
Right.
Like, if you have the option, yeah, I'll go ahead and drive home in your nice car. But no, should we have the sort of Cinderella-ish moment, I guess,
where she lost her chew.
But I feel like when I first watched this, I did not understand why she said, even though they already said it was Jimmy Choo's, I was like, why did you call it your chew? Obviously, it's just her Jimmy Choo, and she lost one of them. But she didn't really lose it. It's 2 feet behind her.
Yeah, I don't know why. That didn't work. That moment didn't work. Because no one comes to pick it up.
Well, she puts it back on herself, I think, is what the moment is supposed to be. That it's not that Prince Charming comes and finds her shoe and puts it on her. Exactly.
Oh, you're she so puts, smart.
I try.
This is why you're here. I just was like, that was stupid.
Yeah, I think it's that moment if she puts her own shoe back on.
Carrie, like, that boat's going to stop. And, like, how are you going to get on it?
I thought there's a guy standing there that's like, the boat. It's going. I'm not. What do you?
So then he pulls up to drive her, but he doesn't know how to get back. But how did he get there?
It's kind of a. It's all to give us the moment where she can say, sometimes the guy has to save the girl, and then sometimes the girl has to save the guy.
But how does Carrie know how to get back?
She doesn't. Island? It's just a moment. It doesn't make any. This scene in general, there's no last ferry. She didn't really lose her shoe. Yeah. It's just a.
Blah. Doesn't make sense. I'm mad about it.
Yeah, it's all to set up.
I'm happy Steve is back.
Yeah, to set up our Staten Island fairy tale. Get it? Fairy meant a different thing.
I get it. I'm not that stupid. I just don't know a lot of things.
So there you go. There's our first episode
back.
Welcome back
to season 3.
Welcome back.
Samantha's got some hair. It's like very Shirley Temple.
Yeah, she's done up. But you know, at this point, like, third season, they're all solidified. They all kind of know their character. Mm-hmm. They all had time down between seasons 2 and season 3. They also all now had money. Not that they were poor before, but now they had, like, their TV money. So I'm sure that they were kind of able to go and, what do I want my wardrobe to be? What do I want my hair to be?
Mm-hmm.
So our first episode back, and there are some contrivances. Like, there are definitely some moments where you're a little bit eye-rolly. But I think it's overall a solid episode. It's funny. All four ladies get something to do.
Yeah.
We do have growth, and I like it. It's a nice welcome
we
back
to
season 3.
We know Biggs not going anywhere because she's talking about him so much.
Right. Steve is back, and things are looking
welcome
good
back,
there.
Welcome back, Steve.
Samantha gets to have her sexy time. Charlotte gets to want her man. As we develop the storyline of Charlotte really buckling down, trying to find a husband.
Really?
And I like it. Yeah.
I like it.
It's a good episode. So welcome back. Welcome back to everyone. Hope you didn't miss us too much. I don't know why I said that. I hope you missed us a little.
Mike's like, please, somebody love me.
And there we go.
There we go. Here we have it.
Welcome back. Make sure you share this with someone. Tell a friend.
Yeah, a lot of you guys have been writing emails, which is very nice, and we like them, and I always screenshot them and send them to Mike, and he likes to read them, and it makes him feel good about himself. Also, like, write a review on Apple Podcasts because that really helps.
Yeah, that's actually the best way. We get reviews. The emails are nice, and we get reviews on Facebook, which is also awesome. Like, we love all of that. But the reviews on Apple are actually the ones that are the most helpful because that's what generates the most notice.
Mm-hmm.
So please, please write us a review on Apple.
Please. And if you want to write a mean one, then you can email that to me.
Yeah, that's fine. So thanks for listening, and we'll be back.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, we'll be back next week. Bye.
Bye.
You can visit us at WeCouldn'tHelpButWonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at WeCouldn'tHelpButWonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWPodcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at Mikey Jensen. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out TheaterPodcastProductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review.
We'll be back next week with Politically Erect.
Bumble just messaged me. Good luck. Also, Talia Balsam did an episode of Murder, She Wrote in 1985, where she played Debbie DeLancey. I'm most impressed with that.
Fun fact.
Wait, who's there? Oh, the guy from the...
Yeah, the Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
Patrick Bateman. Wait, which one is the serial killer?
Hold on. And Cynthia Nixon today is the primary. Is she involved in that today?
No, that primary...
Oh, never mind. Delete that.
I will.
Stupid.
I get robocalled like 6 times a day.
RoboCop. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's RoboCop.
If it was... Oh, who was the new RoboCop?
New RoboCop, Joel Kinnaman.
Because he's fine.
Samuel L. Jackson was also in it. Michael Keaton.
All right, we can stop.
Gary Oldman. When my brother was younger, he wanted to watch RoboCop. It was on TV, and my mom said that she had to watch it first, like edit things out, and it was just the opening and the ending credits, but then she's done editing it.
Florentine Peach.